The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals, whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation. Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
I always had a private doctor. I didn't think I needed VA care. Then I learned VA is ranked above private care systems nearby and costs less. I'm getting the best care of my life with providers trained to treat veterans. Get what you earn. Visit choose.va.gov.
Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings. It's Farrell on the bench. I believe in whipped cream with everything. It's Farrell on the bench in the biggest way possible. Hanging out, bad seed, broken head, bad apple with a bad attitude. Hanging around a bunch of bad actors, bad day, bad lot, bad dude, bad breath, bad attitude, bad vibes. We are live in the Varela Palatial, right across the river and through the woods from where Granny loves that Durban Poison Sativa when she's drinking that J-Mo by the finger in New York City, the Big Apple. Ooh, people dressed in plastic bags, directing traffic, some kind of fashion shake it up should do. All my friends that come around, flats of party up, rats on the west side, bed bugs uptown, what a mess, the stats are tattered, my brain's just splattered all over Manhattan, should be shake it. Hey, what's gigging? It's Farrell with Carver High tonight, and we're watching the Bears leading 13-10 over the Vikings on the Monday Nighter. Carver High not giving strong reviews for the Monday night game in Chicago. What's the problem, Carver High?
This game is garbage, man. This game is garbage. Like, honestly, like, these two teams suck. Like, let's just be fair. Let's just call it like it is. Like, this is the product you're giving us here on a primetime game? Come on, please.
So the Monday night madness is that it's boring.
Well, think about it. I mean, do you think that you're going to get any excitement with Kirk Cousins and Nick Foles leading the charge here? I mean, it's not.
No, I will say this.
You had a kickoff return for a touchdown to start the second half. That's the most exciting thing that's happened.
Who did that, Patterson?
Yeah, Patterson.
So... my son came up to me before the game. He said it's going to be like 52-48. And I was like, after they play seven more in the all-time series, they'll have that many points. Not even. I mean, can you imagine these two hacks scoring that many points ever? No. But we'll keep our eyes on it the rest of the way in the Windy City.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Pharrell on the bench with you. Big gain for the Vikings. Gigantic play of like 60 yards with the little 20-yard pass over the middle that Jefferson turned into a monster gain after the Bears started arm tackling. He was dragging bodies down the field. I mean, this is embarrassing. You know, it's funny. They talk about this great Bears defense. They suck. The Bears. No one's afraid of the Bears. Especially with that hack-ass Foles quarterback of theirs. Honestly, like, dude, I have said this a million times. I'm going to get to my guest in 1 second. That guy had the day of his life. You know what I mean? It was like the day of your life. It was the greatest day of my life. He had it in the Super Bowl. And he won the Super Bowl and MVP and beat the Patriots. And since then, he's done absolutely nothing. He just absolutely sucks. I don't care what anybody's. I don't even care if they win this game. I still think he sucks. Mitch Lawrence is with NBA Radio on Sirius XM and a longtime regular on the bench and on Coast to Coast on Sports Grid. We bring him in tonight for a double shot to talk NBA, trade deadline, everything else that's going on, the draft this week. Hey, Mitch, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing great, man. My favorite part of that Bears game was when Khalil Mack intercepted Cousins, and then Cousins tried to knock him out of bounds, and it kind of bounced off him. Did you see that part?
Yeah, he ran over him.
Yeah, just basically. No, I'm doing all right. It's like the NBA offseason is officially underway. We got about 1,000 trades. And by the way, everybody's talking about Chris Paul and James Harden. Very quietly, the Lakers got better getting Dennis Schroeder from Oklahoma City. Did you see that?
Yeah, I was on the air today, and I reported that he went to the Lakers. And first of all, you know as well as I do, that guy's a badass. I mean, that motor on that guy, I mean, I think he's a gamer.
Oh, listen, I don't know if they're going to bring Rondo back. The word is they won't. But, I mean, you get Dennis Schroeder in a trade, and you've won a title. You've got Anthony Davis, LeBron James. I mean, they got better. The Lakers got better. Talking to people around the league, they're like, oh, man, this is a great move by L.A. He's going to help with their backcourt. He's going to help, you know, he's going to speed things up for him. He's got some playoff experience. He's played over 40 games. Now, he hasn't gotten deep. You know, he went to one Eastern Conference Finals as a backup with the Hawks. But, I mean, the guy's got some playoff bones. So that's good. That's good for them. Good for the Lakers if you're a Laker fan.
Yeah, and I'm hearing that, first of all, I like his game a lot. I've always liked Schroeder, especially in the last couple of years. I think he's gotten, you know, to be a real pro. Like, he's like a hardcore veteran player now that can really get it on. And I love his speed, too. I will say this. There's talk that there's teams interested in Avery Bradley. And I know that a lot of people love Avery Bradley for his defense or whatever. Do you think that Dennis Schroeder has become a better player than now? I understand Rondo's versatility and veteran leadership and what he did for him. But do you think Schroeder's better than both those guys? Because I do.
Well, you know, here's the thing about Avery Bradley. They want to win a title without him. They need him. Everybody, you know, when they went to the bubble, everybody talked about, well, Avery Bradley's not going to be there. Their perimeter defense is going to be suspect. It's going to be a big problem for them. Such a big problem, they still won without him. So I think they can afford to lose him. Now, the thing about Rondo is Schroeder's going to play more games in the regular season than Rondo, and Rondo couldn't get hurt, you know? So what happens, though, in the playoffs? Rondo still, you know, Rondo might have been the third best player, especially in the finals, in the playoffs, when he came back against Houston, came in off that injury. So, you know, you have to kind of figure, well, you know what? They're not going to have Rondo's, you know, veteran savvy, the leadership. The guy's played a million playoff games. He's won a couple of titles. Now, Schroeder hasn't done that. But what you get with Schroeder is he's going to be, you know, he's younger, you know, and we'll see. I still like everybody else, I still like Rondo. I think Rondo's going to end up on the Clippers. He could end up on the Bucks. He could end up on the Sixers. I mean, there's a lot of teams who are title worthy, who could use a guy like a Rondo running the show late in a game. And they'll have one of those games, Scott, in a playoff run. We saw it against Houston. We saw it against Miami, where he'll score 20 points. He'll score 18 points, like out of nowhere. And by the way, before this year, he couldn't shoot threes. Now he's picked that up. He's added that to his game. So Rondo is still a very effective player. I'm not going to say Schroeder's better than Rondo. That remains to be seen what he does in the playoffs, but it's still a hell of a pickup for the Lakers.
I'm with you. My point is that exactly what you just said is that he's Rondo. They can't afford for him to get injured because then he's done. And my point is that he's always injured. The guy missed, when they were in the bubble, he barely played. Then he had the thumb surgery. Then he came back and played. And lucky for them, he made it through the important series, the last couple series, the Western Finals and the NBA Finals, without any problems after the thumb. But you know as well as I do, moving forward, his, best years are long gone. He's old now, and Schroeder's not. So that's why I like him better.
Right. Well, here's the deal. He's 34. He's going to be 35 in February. I'm talking about Rondo. And Dennis Schroeder just turned 27. That's a seven-year difference. That's a big deal. But it remains to be seen if Schroeder can give them some big moments. Because here's the you already know about the narrative for the Lakers this year. It's going to be, LeBron is going to get them where they need to go in terms of getting back to a finals, getting deep in the playoffs. So the pressure is always on LeBron to win. Anthony Davis will be there grimacing throughout the way going down. It looks like he's going to get hurt. Who's going to be the third Laker? Right? That's always going to be the thing. Who's the third guy? They really don't have. And LeBron this year, for the first time, really didn't have that third guy when he's been winning titles. It was Kevin Love in Cleveland. It was Chris Bosh, obviously, in Miami. This year, he didn't have that tried-and-true all-star caliber third guy. Some nights it was Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. Some nights it was Rondo. So that, again, is going to be the narrative. Could it be Schroeder? Yeah, it could be Schroeder. I don't see why it can't be.
So they're going to obviously, Pope is a free agent. And there was talk like a week ago that they wanted to move, allegedly, Kuzma and Danny Green. I have to tell you, I understand Danny Green has won titles. And in my opinion, he's been really lucky where he's been, landing. I mean, look where he's played and look where his feet landed. He even got to be on that winner in Toronto. Then he goes to the Lakers and wins another one. But I thought in the series, in the finals for Toronto and the finals for the Lakers, I thought Danny Green was terrible. He couldn't hit the broad side of a barn. Well, I would trade him in 5 seconds. I think he's also washed.
Well, that's what they're going to do, right? That's going to be the deal with Oklahoma City. So, yeah, and I mean, Danny Green could have ended the series with Miami in five games, when LeBron set him up at the end. But, yeah, it looks like it's time to move on. From him, there's probably going to be other guys. Here's the great thing: if you're the Lakers, you don't have a lot of assets. You don't have a lot of cap space. The assets went for Anthony Davis. The cap space. You're going to have to re-sign Anthony Davis, and you will, willingly. But you're at a point now where these guys who are going to be free agents are going to take less money to come and ride LeBron's coattails, and maybe they'll even help you. Right? They're talking about Wes Matthews. There's going to be talk about other guys. So Danny Green won't be missed. He probably won't be missed. They'll be able to add because now you're in a situation where people know they can come join LeBron, ride to the finals. You're going to be playing at least deep in the playoffs. It still remains to be seen who's going to be their biggest. The big question now, forget about the Clippers, who's the number two team in the West who's going to challenge them? Is it going to be Golden State? We'll see. Will it be Denver? We'll see. It's nobody who's going to scare them. There's nobody who's looking at it saying, wow, they're going to beat the Lakers. So the Lakers still are in great shape, and they'll be able to attract guys again, getting them for a discount because they're players who want to win titles who are going to be good enough to help LeBron and get out there and play for minimum money.
So who exactly, respectfully, I got about 45 seconds, who was in the Schroeder deal?
Well, it's a bunch of guys, but I think primarily it's going to be like Danny Green. There's going to be a draft pick involved. There are no other notables, but it's a great deal for the Lakers because they absolutely get better. And if it means that Rondo's out the door. So that's the word. The word is he's not coming back, and he might just slide right down the Staples Center hallway and go play for the Clippers. Wouldn't that be something?
Yeah, all right, we'll come back with Mitch. I want to talk about all these, not only the other deals, but all these picks that the Thunder have now. Christ, I mean, you thought Danny Ainge had stockpiled. The Thunder have the most picks in the NBA. It's Pharrell on a Bench on a Monday night.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
All right, so what I'm seeing is that they got Schroeder for the 28th pick, and that was it. They didn't get Danny Green, and so
yeah,
far
Green's going to be part of that package. He'll be part of the package. That's the word.
He will be?
Yes, he will. That's the word. Right. You have to have some money going to Oklahoma City. Yeah, forget Danny Green. He's done.
Thank God.
He's going to be in Oklahoma City.
Fair enough. But tell me what you think of that team. With their stockpile, I mean, just utter stockpile of draft picks. Like, I thought
they have 17 first round picks between now and 2026 or something, which is absurd. You know, you don't win championships for how many picks you stockpile, right? I mean, Sam Hinkie tried to do that in Philadelphia. There comes a point where Sam Presti's going to have to use them. And he's going to have to find another Kevin Durant. He's going to have to find another James Harden. He's going to have to find another Russell Westbrook. I mean, I understand it's not easy in Oklahoma City. Nobody wants to play there. Nobody. There aren't free agents who are saying, you know what, I really want to go play in Oklahoma City, right, in this situation. So they have to rebuild, and they're doing it. I mean, they've taken that franchise right down to the studs. They have a new head coach, a guy you've probably never heard of, I've never heard of, right? Mike Dagnall, whatever. And he's going to be developing young players. And everybody is saluting Sam Presti because he's got a million picks. Well, you got to turn those picks into something. We're not going to win any prizes here for who accumulates the most number one picks. Ask Sam Hinkie in the process in Philadelphia. So it's great what they did, but there comes a point where you got to go get talent. And that's what Sam Presti has to do, because a lot of talent has either been traded or has walked out of that franchise. And, I mean, look, we were covering the finals there 8-9 years ago, and it was a young Durant, Westbrook, and Harden. And we figured, oh, we'll be back here for years and years and years. And that was it. So, you know, this is what they had to do. And they made their trade. They, you know, Chris Paul didn't want – you know, here's the amazing thing. It was amazing that Chris Paul lasted a year there. When he got traded there initially, the story was the guy just wants to get out of there right away. To his credit, he had a great year. They had a very good season as a team. And Billy Donovan got the hell out of there. He went to Chicago. And Chris Paul didn't want to be there anymore. He was already talking to Monty Williams, apparently, and the Suns about going to play there.
So how do you think, you know, when you see what he's going to do now in the Valley, obviously this boils down to, can Devin Booker handle the fact that Chris Paul is going to have the rock 90% of the time? Do you think Devin Booker's cool with that and wants that to happen and that it'll work?
Well, here's the thing about Devin Booker. He's an accomplished loser in the NBA. He's a very talented young scorer. He gets you about 27 points a game the last couple of years. He has won in his life 23, 24, 21, 19, and last year 34 games. He has been doing nothing but losing and taking early vacations by the end of April. His season's over. He needs to start winning. And the big key is going to be for me, does he now listen to Chris Paul And Chris Paul, who has not, I mean, you know, we all know Chris Paul has had some great times in the NBA in the regular season. In the playoffs, there have been a lot of problems. And he had that unfortunate injury in Houston where they had a 3-2 lead on Golden State back in 2018. It looked like they'd knock off the Warriors, and then he got hurt. And he's never been to a finals. He doesn't have a ring, right? But they brought him in to show the young guys what it takes to at least become a winning team and become relevant. I mean, this is a Phoenix franchise with the great Devin Booker. They've done nothing the last. And I know Devin Booker's had five. He's had five coaches in his first 5 years, starting with Jeff Hornacek when he came in as a 19-year-old rookie. So he's got to start winning, right? It's not just about putting up shots and scoring. He's got to start winning, and hopefully Chris Paul's going to teach him the ropes in terms of what it takes to be a winning player in the regular season. And you know, by the way, as you know, it doesn't mean that, you know, everybody's talking about, wow, they're going to be a power in the West. They're going to be well, first of all, they got to make the playoffs in the Western Conference. They've got some steep competition. There are teams that are as good or better than them with Chris Paul, who probably didn't even make the playoffs last year. So, you know, this is not going to be an easy thing, but this is a necessary move. It's finally great that the Suns are relevant again. They're back on the NBA map after years and years of being totally irrelevant. Scott, so, and Chris Paul wants to be there, that's a big plus for Monty Williams and Devin Booker. He should help them immensely. At least now they have a chance to make the playoffs.
So when you saw them play in the bubble the way they did and look that fantastic, is that essentially meaningless? Because
yes.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
I mean,
it doesn't mean anything.
Well, look, you know, here's the thing about the bubble. We saw people in the bubble like Jamal Murray, who's been a real nice scorer in the NBA. He had games in the bubble where you're like, where'd this guy come from? Why is this guy so effective? Well, he's playing basically on a neutral court in Florida. Now, I'm not going to say Jamal Murray can't do what he did against, you know, Utah on the road with two 50-point games, but I want to see him do it in Salt Lake City, not Lake Buena Vista like he did it. And there are other players, too. I'm just picking on him. Tyler Hero. Right, Bam Adebayo, all these guys who flourished without having to play on the road. The Suns, who did a great job. No doubt about it, they were 8-0 in the bubble. Fine, let me see what you do outside of the bubble. The NBA is played outside the bubble, as you know. So
right.
I can't go crazy. It's like when people say to me, you're putting an asterisk by the Lakers title. I'm not putting an asterisk by it, but I'm going to tell you this. I'm not giving it as much weight as other titles because they didn't have to travel and they didn't have to perform in hostile environments in you know, Houston and Portland and Denver and in Miami. So it's a different deal.
I think you're right, Mitch. I think it's a great, fantastic, well-taken point by you, and it opens my eyes to I had never, like, thought of it since the fact that it was that way. I had never, like, gone there into that realm of they did this without, you know, having to win on the road in front of hostile environments. I agree with you. It's crazy. Let me ask you about something else, though. I want to shift
gears.
Let
me add one point to that. Let me just add one point. How many great, iconic NBA playoff moments do you remember growing up as a kid all the way through your job where you saw, wow, this guy did that on the road? Magic Johnson, Skyhook, the junior Skyhook in Boston Garden. Michael Jordan beating Cleveland in Cleveland. Michael Jordan beating Utah. LeBron James chase down block in Oakland. Those are iconic moments done on the road. There's none of this stuff done at Lake Buena Vista. LeBron didn't have to get on a plane. The hardest thing he had to do was get on a bus, which for him was a big advantage. As much as he's played his age, that saved him considerably for the bubble. The bubble did him a world of good.
Yeah, I think you're right. So let me ask you about Harden to the Nets, the possibilities. How do you feel about it when you heard it?
Now everybody wants to go. Everybody wants to be a Net. That's how crazy the world is, right? Listen, it makes sense from his standpoint, because he's done with Houston. He doesn't think he thinks like what we all think about Houston. Houston's done. D'Antoni's gone. Daryl Morey's gone. Russell Westbrook wants out. The best days that Harden spent in Houston are over. So he wants to go. So you could definitely see he would want to join with Kevin Durant. I don't know how that's going to work with Kyrie Irving. Or he could probably say, you know what? I'll go play for Daryl Morey in Philadelphia. Maybe hook up with with Joel Embiid. I don't know if Ben Simmons would be there, what the trade would be. But the bottom line is when a guy turns down $50 million a year, which would be a record contract,
right,
and is offered a 2-year extension, I mean, what does that tell you? First of all, I didn't even know the Rockets had that much money to give him, because all you hear about is the owner poor-mouthing because the owner's in the casino, restaurant, and hotel business, and all those have been shuttered because of coronavirus, and he's losing more money than any other owner in the NBA.
Really?
So for Tillman Fertitta to offer him $50 million a year is pretty crazy, and for him to turn it down is even more ludicrous. But that tells you he doesn't want to be there, obviously, and they're going to have to do something with him now. He doesn't have leverage like Anthony Davis, who's on the, you know, he forced his way out of New Orleans. He was on the last year of his deal. Everybody knew they had to trade him, right? Here's the deal where James Harden has, I think, 3 years, at least two, with maybe a player option. So they can basically hold on to him, get the best deal they can, and then ship him where they want. Yeah, he wants to go to Brooklyn. They might get a better deal somewhere else.
So if he, let's say hypothetically, they were able to work something out and he went to the Nets, obviously any deal that they consummate won't have any part of Kyrie or Durant. So the three of them together, do you think it works? Do you think it works? Because he's a ball hog.
You know where it works? It works in an all-star game, right? It works in a playground. Does it work in an NBA game? I tend to doubt it. First of all, James Harden's going to go there and defer to Kyrie Irving. Now, he might defer to his guy Kevin Durant, because Kevin Durant's got finals MVPs. He ain't deferring to Kyrie Irving. So I have no – and is Kyrie Irving going to accept the fact that he is a number three option? Good luck, Steve Nash.
Yeah, good luck. So let me ask you this question. Do you think that – like, you've heard talk of Russell Westbrook going everywhere – Do the Knicks have a shot at him, or is that laughable?
Yes. No. I think they're going to have a shot. They're going to have to, you know, obviously give Houston a good package, but Houston's going to want to get out from under that contract, and you know the Knicks want him, because when the fans come back and the celebrities come back to the best seats at the Garden, the courtside seats, James Dolan's going to want to have a big attraction. That's where Russell Westbrook comes in. And Michael Jordan's going to want him, too, because Michael Jordan, you talk about a place where players don't want to play. Yeah, I know Nicholas Batum took a ton of money, but who wants to go to Charlotte? So, yeah, this is what you do. This is what Stan Van Gundy did with Blake Griffin. If you can't get a guy, a big-time star to come in terms of free agency, the next best thing is to trade for him, even if everybody else says that's crazy, he's got an undesirable contract, because Charlotte can never get a guy like Russell Westbrook. And by the way, one time when he went into the Oklahoma Hall of Fame, Sports Hall of Fame, a couple of years ago, Russell Westbrook, Michael Jordan was his presenter, so they have a little bit of a relationship there.
Right. You might be right. Hey, Mitch, great stuff tonight, brother. I love talking NBA with you. Enjoy the trade season and the draft and free agency. We'll catch up again real soon.
Thanks, Scott. Take care, baby.
My man, Mitch Lawrence from NBA Radio on Sirius XM on the Bench. God, he's so awful. Your boy Nick Foles is so awful. Oh, my God. 3rd and 5. He throws it into the line. Incomplete. It's 4th and 5 now. They got a punt. All I know is, and then, listen, I said this. The Vikings scored a touchdown, and then they kicked the extra point and botched it. The long snapper. The snapper, he rolled it back to the holder, and they didn't have time to kick it, and they threw it away. So it's 19-13, and then the Bears get the ball on the kickoff, and they can't do anything because, I mean, they're just so awful. I think he's awful, and I don't care what anybody thinks. Look, I'm going to say it again. He had one great day. And I will not deny that it was an incredible performance. Well, I'll never forget it, that when the Eagles beat the Patriots and Foles had that MVP day, and he made a fortune off of it, right? So congratulations to him and his family. Obviously, very exciting to be the Super Bowl MVP and everything. But he has been terrible ever since. There's no getting around it. I mean, what'd he go back to Philly, right? And then he went to Jacksonville, and now he's in Chicago. And Carver High, you cannot tell me that he's good. I mean, he's not even decent. He's not even decent. He's not good. He's not decent. He's average at best. And their offense is anemic. And I said to you, it doesn't even matter if Nagy or Lazor, it doesn't matter who calls the plays because their quarterbacks are so bad. Foles is, you know, he is what he is. He's a backup. And Trubisky was the worst draft pick ever. They have no quarterback in Chicago. They have no offense. They have no running game. They have no really, I've heard all I can take Mooney and everyone else. Maury, whatever the hell his name is. I can't even keep track of their terrible receivers. I guess Robinson's okay. I won't say he sucks, but you can't argue with the fact that they're terrible and he's terrible. I mean, they can't even get a first down, let alone score. I mean, they scored on field goals and a kickoff return for a touchdown. Nick Foles is an atrocity. I don't care what anybody says. Everyone in Chicago needs to catch up to the fact that he sucks. I mean, this is their star quarterback. Can't even throw a 5-yard pass. I mean, honestly.
No, listen, I don't disagree with you at all. He did have a tremendous day in that Super Bowl against the Patriots. And in that run, you know, that whole run to get them there, he was pretty good in those games too. Whether it was the NFC title game against Minnesota. You know, he had a good run, a good January into the Super Bowl. But he has not been the same ever since. And he really wasn't the same before that either. He is what he is. He's a good backup quarterback that you can bring in, you know, when somebody gets hurt or and he's good for, you know, a game and a half. But to play every single week, the warts show very quickly. And these last 7-8 games in Chicago since they made the switch, you see it even more. He stinks. And listen, I think Nagy stinks too. I'm sorry. He ain't no offensive genius. Whether it was Foles or Trubisky, he stinks also. So I'm not high on Nagy or Lazor, whoever calls the plays.
Lazor called the plays. And I'll say this. Did you see that play where he threw it into the lineman?
Yes.
All I know is that they missed a call there because in the NFL, it's automatic. It's automatic 15 yards if you slap or punch the quarterback in the head. And that's exactly what they did. They smashed him in the head.
Yep, I just saw it. 96.
That's a flagrant 15-yard. You cannot hit the quarterback in the head. And they did with a full forearm right to the head. You cannot deny they missed that call. That is without a doubt. There's not even a question to be asked. Every single time you touch a quarterback in the head or in the face mask or anywhere in the helmet, you're done. It's 15 yards. It's automatic. And then how do they miss that? You know, my thing is, the question is, how do you miss that when – I mean, they throw a flag on every play in the NFL. They miss nothing. They literally miss nothing. It's not like high school football where they miss, you know, 20 calls a game. In the NFL, when do you ever see them miss calls? Like where they, you know, you can't even get away with holding. You can't get away with as a corner. You cannot touch a guy when he's coming off the line. If you hold him, you're going to get holding. You're going to get pass interference. You're going to – it's just everything. They call illegal shifts. They call – if a guy burps, they call illegal procedure. What don't they call? They call everything. And then they miss a quarterback getting a shot to his head? How do you miss that? It's impossible. They don't miss it. They have a guy that's his entire job is to watch the quarterback to make sure the quarterback doesn't get hit. And he missed that? He took a massive shot to the head. Nothing. They called nothing. How do you miss that? Other than you suck as a ref. The guy that's job it is to watch the quarterback avoid hits to the head. What is he doing? Picking his nose? You saw the play. Everyone saw the play.
These guys are the worst. We know that. Sometimes they call ones that you just can't believe they're calling, and they miss blatant ones like that. I mean, he clearly hit him in the head. You know, it's just these guys I say to you all the time. These guys are pigs, these refs. It's impossible to know what they're going to do on a night-in, night-out basis. They're the worst. They're the worst in all sports.
Oh, God. It's just unbelievable. And then... you know, I have a hard time believing. My guess is they're going to get one more shot, right? Is that about
yes.
it?
They'll get right one now, more chance.
One more chance because the Vikings have the ball. It's 2nd and 10. They got Cook. They got Cousins. Let me tell you this, too. I think Cousins is, I mean, unquestionably better than Foles. And I think Cousins is awful. I think Cousins is awful, but I think he's better than Foles. And he just ran for 18-yard first down. So Nick Foles couldn't do that. And Cousins is willing to do that. And Cousins, in the moments that mattered most in this game in the fourth quarter, threw a touchdown pass. Did he not? Did he not give him the lead? This is my point. He's making plays. Now they're calling holding, so they're bringing it back. But he's making plays. He threw the touchdown and gave him the lead. He just ran for a first down, but it gets called back with a flag. See what I mean? They don't miss holdings, do they? But they miss the quarterback getting punched in the head. Okay, so my point is that Cousins is making plays. Foles makes no plays ever. Ever. What, did he make one play in the whole game? Seriously, did Nick Foles make one play in this game?
No.
He is complete trash. I don't care what anybody says. You know what's great about Nick Foles? Is that when he got that MVP, he got so rich, he'll never have to work another day in his life or his family. So what he should do is quit now. Just quit now and leave because you suck so bad. Why not just take the money and run? Honestly, what's the point of playing anymore? Because he's so awful. You can't even deny it. Like, I'm not even, like, trying to be cute right now. I can't watch this guy play football because he's so anemic. In fact, I'm willing to say this. I think that Foles is so average that I even believe Trubisky's got a better upside than him. Because I think Trubisky was at the heart of their problems with Nagy, Lazor, their play calling, their lack of talent, their lack of receivers, their lack of offensive line. This was a defense-only team. Am I wrong? So he got thrust in there. They let him play two games. He made one mistake or two, and they benched him. So here's the deal. He's younger. He's got a stronger arm than Foles, and he never got a shot, a legitimate chance. He never did because they're like, you're our starter, and what we're going to do is we're going to let you play two games, and the first mistake you make, we're going to bench you. That's what they did to him.
They didn't want to give him the job to begin with. And we said this. We said this for months after they got Foles in March or whatever it was. If there would have been a normal off-season program, mini camps, a training camp, preseason games, if they would have had all those normal things, Foles would have started game one. Okay? Because Nagy was looking for any reason not to play Trubisky, but he kind of had to play him in the first game because Foles wasn't up to speed. They didn't have a real training camp. That's why.
All right, so they just ran back a punt, and they went from their own 27 or 28, Miller, all the way over midfield. And so the Vikings finally made the tackle, and now they're in business. Now watch. There's 5 minutes left in this game, and they got the ball at least the 46 of the Vikings. How far do they make it on this drive down the field? Do they get a field goal, nothing, or a touchdown? Carver, how you tell me. There's your choices. A field goal, a touchdown, or nothing.
I know that a field goal can still get them to within once. You know, field goal can get them to three, and they could maybe try to stop them again. But I think it's getting a little too late for that. I think that you need to – it's going to take them a while to score. I think you need to go for the touchdown here. And they just over the 50. You're right. They're going to get the ball from the 46-yard line. I finally saw the play
already got a first down. So the last the last four possessions were all punts because they're so awful. Here's another question for you. Do you like the Bears hoodie that the coaching staff is wearing tonight? Nagy and company.
No. And I don't like them wearing the orange jerseys either. I think the orange jerseys are a bad look for them.
Yeah, you gotta
That's
go
not
with
Chicago
straight
Bears.
Blue like Walter
That
Payton.
Is not the Bears. The Bears are a classic franchise. It's hard to put that orange jersey on them. You didn't see Mike Ditka, you didn't see Singletary or Butkus or anybody running around with the orange jersey. I don't like it.
You can't have Ron Rivera running around in an orange jersey. Remember? And Dan Hampton.
Yeah, that's just, I don't know. There's some teams I don't mind when they change things up, but Bears, like, it's just so, what are you doing? I just don't get it.
Reeve Sorry, back in the day for your boy Walter Payton. Reeve Sorry blocking.
I finally saw the graphic with their drives in the second half. I mean, my God, what a disgrace!
I mean, honestly,
they really steak. That
you
was
can't
awful.
Even make the. You can't even make it up how bad they are. They are so bad. Like today, when we were on Coast to Coast, I was like, "Yeah, I'll take the Bears," and I knew that I should cut off my fingers when I bet on them. I mean, because they just don't matter at all.
You know what?
They're not a playoff team.
Not. Nagy is a loser. I bet you he would kick a field goal with like 3 minutes left and think he's going to stop him because his defense is everything. So
last week, 2 for 15 on third down. Tonight, 2 for 9. They suck. They just did it again on 3rd and 5. They went backwards 6 yards on 3rd and 5. They literally threw up. I mean, they're so awful. I can't even watch this. I'm going to start swearing. Look at this. It's 3rd and 5, and he throws a pass 3 yards behind the line of scrimmage. What are you doing? You suck so bad. Foles, quit now. Take the money. Go live with your wife and kids. Move to the mountains. Hide from civilization. Have nothing to do with anyone. Become a mountain man. Grow a long beard. Write a manifesto. Clean your guns. Do something besides be an NFL quarterback because you aren't one. Here he is on 4th down trying to throw a touchdown. Dropped at the 5. Oh, my God. They're so awful. Oh, my God. He is so awful. I can't even watch it. I'm going to get sick. I think I'm going to get sick to my stomach. I think I'm actually getting sick right now watching him. Getting an upset stomach, Carver. It's unbelievable. Nice 4th down pass. Too bad it was 7 yards over your receiver's hands. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. And there's 2 minutes left in the game. This game's so over, it's not even funny. You're awful. Nick Foles. Blame Foles for this and Nagy. There you go. 1st down, Vikings. Play action. They fooled everybody. Going left, went right, threw it to the tight end. And this game, they got 1:50 left. And they'll start calling timeouts now because this game's over. This game's over. It's funny. It's like Mac makes the pick earlier when Thielen dropped the ball and Mac picked it off, and they talked about how great Mac is for 10 minutes. The entire rest of the half and then halftime, all they talked about is how great Mac is. And the reality is when it matters most, where is Mac? When it matters most, he's invisible. Okay, so seriously invisible. It's 2nd and 6. You got to get a stop. You got to make a play. You got to force 3rd down and 5 or 4 and then shut him down, get the ball back, try to win the game in less than 2 minutes, right? And instead, Mac's out there running around with his head cut off because he doesn't come up big when it matters most. He comes up big in the 2nd quarter and gets a pick or a fumble or something. I won't deny Mac's a good player. But when it matters most, Carver High, where is he? When they needed a stop right there on, 2 minute warning, you got to stop him. No questions asked. They cannot get a 1st down. What did Mac do besides nothing? Nothing at all.
He has not had a good season for them. He just hasn't. The sacks are down. He had the pick tonight, but... Mac has not been as much of a factor as he was when he first got there 2 years ago.
You know why, don't you? It's because 2 reasons. One, the rest of the team's terrible and it's all on him. Okay. And then 2, he got all that money. And once he got all that money, he didn't care about anything else. Once he got the money, he didn't care about anything. Winning, making plays. Doing anything. Once you got money in the bank, it's over. You just don't even care about anything. Guys that are the craziest and make the most plays are the ones trying to get the money.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.
Planet Fitness has everything you need to start strong, so you can give everything you've got. From plate-loaded strength equipment and functional training areas to treadmills, stair climbers, and free weights. Our equipment is best in class, and our clubs are right around the corner. So you can make this your strongest year yet. Join the club today and save $28 or more when you join for $1 down, $15 a month. Cancel anytime. Deal ends Friday, January 9th. Are you coming? Planet Fitness. We're all strong on this planet. See club for details.
Switching between different tools to finish a project can feel stressful and disjointed, especially while juggling tight deadlines in a fast-paced work environment. Now, there's a better way. Grammarly built a writing service that's a game changer for professionals. It helps move your ideas forward and sharpen your words for better results, all in one place. With Grammarly's AI agents, you get writing support at every step to bring polish and impact to your emails, reports, and proposals without the tab overload. Email sounds robotic, phrasing feels off, writing for a high-stakes client, Grammarly's got you covered. You can even ask Grammarly's AI chat to help brainstorm brilliant proposals, summarize meeting notes in seconds, or even shape a winning sales strategy, all right from your doc. 93% of professionals say that Grammarly helps them get more done. Now, it's your turn. Sign up for free and get stronger results. Faster work, smarter sentences, clearer finishes. Visit Grammarly.com to get started. That's Grammarly.com.